Is your team not performing well? Is morale low and turnover high? Are you falling further behind the competition? I'm here to help. I'm your host, Shaney, and this is the Leadership Show, where business strategy and culture finally meet, and we make the long-awaited shift from rhetoric to results. I promise I'm not your typical boring leadership consultant, and I will help you get your shift together. Let's do this.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our final Lead with Love webinar. I'm Jennifer, joining you from the beautiful town of Hopewell, New Jersey.
And I'm Shaney, joining you from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yes. So thank you for slow dancing with Tina. And to kick us off for today, we have another fun icebreaker for you, just throwing out all sorts of ideas too that you can use with your virtual teams. And today we're wondering, if you had to be an animal right in this moment, which animal would you be? Are you feeling frisky and fun like a dog? Or you'll notice there's a slug down there, and that's perfectly fine if you're just feeling a little sluggish and it's one of those days where you're just, you know, I'm not going to get out of bed. So let's hear from some people. Shaney, what about you? What animal are you right now?
Well, it will not surprise anyone that I'm going to pick the kitty cat.
Your kitty. Yep, I'll be kidding.
I'm a cat, but in all seriousness, look at how cute that cat is. The cat just remains curious and open, and you know, curiosity doesn't kill the cat. Curiosity makes the cat more open and inclusive.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. So who wants to share in the chat what animal they're feeling like, or if you want to unmute yourself and tell us? I see some smiling. Jackie, I know you want to say something. I can tell.
I don't like cats, but I have learned to love cats. I have a couple of grand cats that I adore. So yeah. I would be a combination of those two. One is like this one, and the other one is like,
an aggressive cat. Awesome. Yeah, who else is feeling like an animal vibe right now? Anybody? All right. I think if I had to pick one, I don't know which one. I think I'd be the dog. The dog is looking very serious right now, but also playful. Yep. So, and again, it's just a question of checking in, and anywhere where you are with weather or with connecting to an animal is absolutely fine. All right. So our mission, which I know that those of you who have joined us before have heard this, and for those of you who are new, we are all about helping individuals and teams process and move forward with passion and purpose in the context of this crisis. And we are doing that by harnessing our collective genius and passion.
And actually, Jen, before you leave that slide, just a nod to the logo. This is a variation on the Lead with Love webinar series logo, and Lead with Love in the center with of the head, heart, and gut pieces of the logo. And again, for those of you who are just joining us for this fourth and final webinar, not physical romantic love, human love, empathy, compassion, patience, understanding, etc.
And I do hear some background noise. So if you aren't speaking, if you could put yourself on mute, that would be great. Thank you. Awesome. Okay. Thank you for that, Shaney. Great reminder there. And today, as we heard from Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? We are going to be talking about leading with openness, vision, and energy. And the great news here is that we've been talking about this all along. So as Shaney and I were building this webinar, we wanted to make it all cumulative and get to this place where we can say, yes, we are leading with openness, vision, and energy. And a lot of this reminded us of the adult development models that Harvard-based psychologist Robert Keegan has. And Keegan talks about children when they're born and when they're younger, how they're creative and fun. And, you know, imagine a kid running around Disney World and just exploring, and they're not thinking like, oh, wow, I hope people don't make fun of my clothes, or I want to ask my mom a question, but maybe she'll think I'm stupid, right? They just kind of come from their heart and get out there. And then as we age, as a normal part of development, we get socialized and we learn what the rules are and how to fit in and what the norms are which is fine. And yet so many adults really get stuck at this place of socialized mind. And it's, as you can see from the drawing, living your life from the outside in. So worrying about external affirmation and what people are going to think and whatever's happening in the world. And the important thing in terms of inspired leadership is to get to a place, which we've been talking about, which is called the self-authored mind. And you can see here that it's really coming from the heart and the passion and the purpose and putting that out into the world. So anyway, that is a good summary of where we are. And in case you have missed any of our webinars, there's no need to worry. They can be found on the leadershiftteam.com website. And this is just showing you that for each webinar, so for example, this says webinar 2, there is a video recording and there's a handout. So feel free to access those and check them out or use them with your teams. All right. So we're just going to take a walk down memory lane and talk about all the fun we've had, or for those of you who weren't there, we can share with you what we learned. Webinar 1 was literally overwhelmed by various emotions. And we talked about, oh my gosh, I'm in the middle of this crisis. I'm feeling so overwhelmed and panicked and crazy. What do I do? We talked about the importance of feeling and naming our emotions, getting grounded, and finding ways to get productive, which again are very related to this theme of today, which is leading with openness, vision of energy. We taught you some tools, the box breathing and the STAR methods to get grounded if you're stressed, and the daily gain to feel productive in terms of, you know, maybe just one day. If I can get one thing done one day, that would be great. In our second webinar, you can see how it all builds upon itself. So you have our heart-based, self-authored character in the middle, and he or she or they are connecting with all these other virtual employees from the heart and to the heart. So again, as Shani mentioned, with not only their head, but their heart and their gut. And we talked in webinar 2 about how can we show up as a coach instead of a boss, and how can we lead with humanity. And here are some of the tools that we learned: our coach to be list, our coach to do list, connecting with empathy. That's what we did in webinar 2. Webinar 3, you can see that that whole situation is in the circle. So we have someone coming from their heart, we have them connecting to other people, and now we have them all in this encasing of their values. And that's what we spent last webinar on. So I just threw in trust, fun, and customer, but it can be any of your values. And you'll notice on the outside, we put that guy who's worried, the saboteur and the inner critic, and the person who's always thinking, oh my gosh, what should I do? I'm so stressed out. He's on the outside of the circle, he or she. And we want to really focus on coming from inside of that circle. And what does that mean? Things like recognizing that you do have a best self you can connect with. You do have an inner critic that will show up, and that's okay. We're just going to disengage, and we can create our own definition of success. All right, so we're up to webinar 4. We're all caught up. We are leading with openness, vision, and energy. And the bottom of this road, let's say we're on this road, that reminds us of that wall of shit we mentioned from webinar 1, which is when all these scary things come up, and there's the inner critic, there's the yikes, there's the uncertainty, and it can be overwhelming, of course. And in terms of what we can control, we can show up, even if it's in a small way, as this heart-based person connecting to other people from the heart and encircled by our values. And if we do that every day, not 100%, of course, because we're not going to be perfect, then we will get to a place that is progress. And you can see that that arrow just kind of veers off the path. So it's okay if you veer off the path, you will get there. And so today, what are we gonna do? We're gonna learn even more tools for you and your team to recognize that you are always a leader and that you can pivot from reactive to creative leadership. So exciting. Yay.
Absolutely. Okay. You may remember from webinar 1, we talked about what leadership really means. And for us and many people, it doesn't just mean the person with the title and the corner office and the most senior position on the org chart, right? Leaders, we're all leaders. We're all responsible for our own destinies, our own lives, our own relationships, our own career paths, our own decisions, et cetera, right? So we're responsible. And when we break that word down into its component parts, we are able to respond. And that's exactly what Jennifer was describing with Keegan's self-authored mind. They're pretty synonymous. The self-authored mind is response-able. And in that vein, we want to give you just a quick overview of the different positions from which we can lead with love, because it's not just the leader in front, which is number two on the list. Leader in front is typically what we think of, you know, the person who runs the team or the group or the division or the CEO who is leading the meetings and making the decisions and giving performance reviews. Yes, those are responsibilities of leaders from the front, and they're not the only responsibilities. In fact, to us, the most critical tasks of the leader in front are vision, right? Leading with the V in Lead with Love today is about vision and connection, which is what we've been talking about all along. And leading from within is also something we've been very focused on. Leading from within means that we're leading in touch with our values, in touch with our organization or team values, and with that place of authority or self-authorship. Okay, so we're always going to be leading from within. We can lead from front whether or not we have a team or not. And moving into the other three aspects, you know, when we say positions, we literally mean, like, if you kind of think of people, right, you can move around a circle, you can move to the front of them, you can move to the back of them, you could move beside them, etc. So what is leader from beside? Leader from beside is actually co-leading. And many people have opportunities to co-lead or co-create, either with a peer or with someone to whom they report, or maybe their boss or—
Wait, are we, or like the two of us, we're co-leading, for example. Yeah. I can't think of an example.
Exactly. And what that means isn't that two people do the exact same thing. What it means is two people are co-creating, leaning into their strengths. Okay, so part of that would always entail a team agreement, even if it's just a team of two. Again, to harken back to one of the tools we've mentioned in the past. Leader from the back is all about getting rid of your ego and focusing on developing others. So that's what a coach does. They lead from the back, a mentor. So in any way that we can serve, develop, and support and empower others, that's actually leading from the back. Succession planning, by the way, leading from the back, right? To make sure that you don't always have to be leading the pack. And then last but not least, leader in the world or leader in the organization, that's leading in contexts that you're not technically even required to lead. It's leading from that place of heart and gut where you just feel like so much conviction that you want to act because no one else has. So it's you're leading with intuition and from a place of service and passion.
Yeah. And one more thing, Shani, I want to add to what you said about leader from the back is oftentimes, and I hear this with a lot of my clients, is people get really frustrated if they're not getting certain direction from their boss, either feedback or organization. And so we say, hey, you know, just because you report to them doesn't mean that they are going to be skilled at something or tell you what to do in a way that's inspiring. What can you do? What can you bring? And there can be this piece of, I don't even want to say education, but service and inspiration from someone who is more junior to someone who's more senior.
Yeah, absolutely. So all of this goes back to responsible. You're responsible to lead from your best self, regardless of what the position is. Okay. And the Zen theory of change, really, this is so much more inspired and profound than maybe the way that we could put it. I free myself, not by trying to be free, but by simply noticing how I'm imprisoning myself in the very moment that I'm doing so, right? And so essentially just a nod to the fact that we often are the ones putting up our own barriers to success. And we're going to talk about some reactive and creative ways to deal with that today.
Exactly. So speaking of barriers or blockages to our own success that we put up, we wanted to check in with you at this point. And again, in this moment, because we notice how we're not being free in the very moment that we're not being free. What is your current blockage? Even if you think of something that might be preventing you from having a good day, maybe you need to let go of something, a mindset, a behavior, a thought, or maybe if you look on the right, you need to embrace something. So what I can give a quick example for me, I needed to really embrace my connection with music. So even though this is a music festival, I did put on my my dancing queen necklace here. So that was one way that I embraced my musical self-empowered self this morning. Who else has something in the moment that they could either let go of or embrace that would even make them more present for today's webinar? It's a quiet crowd today, Shaney. It's okay.
Maybe we need to let go of the need for people to be super responsive in a chat room.
I need to let go of like controlling things. That's my problem.
Okay.
Thank you for that. Wait, was that Stephanie?
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
And what do you want to embrace instead, Stephanie?
I want to embrace dancing in the moment with like when things happen and, you know, it's unexpected, just to pivot right on it and respond to it as it comes up.
Yeah. Thank you. That's nice. Beautiful. Good. And we have some things in the chat room. Someone needs to let go of my rainy mood and letting go of feeling like I need to be accomplishing something all the time. Very common during these times. And wanting to embrace the sunshine in my heart. Beautiful. Yeah. So again, this is an exercise you can just try anytime. Just say, you know, is there something in my way? Am I imprisoning myself? Which sounds very heavy, but it could just be a small thing that can totally change your mindset.
Yeah. Hey, there's one more thing in the chat room. Need to let go of my long to-do list and that it all has to be done now. Yeah. And yeah, and actually Jay saying that she can relate, needing to let go that she's accomplishing something all the time. So very similar themes there. And so embracing maybe back from webinar 3, a new definition of success. So accomplishing something doesn't mean running around checking off boxes. Maybe success is spending quality time with the kids, and success is being there for the people on my team.
Exactly. Right.
I need to let go of my hesitancy to show up in the world. And I need to embrace the knowledge of my capabilities.
Which you just did. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I see your smile. That's amazing. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And we have another one, let go of self-limiting thoughts and embrace, sky's the limit. Amazing. Thank you, Deborah. Right. All right. Those were some really good ones. And I was telling Shaney that I saw this quote on my website, and it was long before we even came up with the idea for this webinar. And I was chuckling because I had said, you know, an inspirational leader is heart-driven and comes from a place of creativity, vision and passion versus existing social structures and external affirmation. So anyway, I thought that would be fun to include here.
Yep.
And so if you're still saying that all sounds great, but how do I do that? We want to bring back our fun little character who has no idea, which is always welcome, right? The ability to say, wait, I don't really get it, or I'm having problems. The great news is we have even more tools for you today. So what do we have for them, Shaney?
Yes. Okay. Some of you may recognize the concepts we're presenting now as cognitive behavioral therapy, but if not, let's just call them the cool triangles, okay? And the basis of this is that thoughts become things, and essentially it's thoughts and emotions become behaviors. And so obviously the three points of the triangle, the arrows are going in both directions, because we can have thoughts that then lead us to feel certain emotions and then take certain actions or behaviors. The opposite is also true, that we can be feeling a certain way, which triggers thoughts, perhaps inner critic thoughts, which will also trigger us to behave in a certain way. So for example, if we have the thought in reaction to COVID-19, right? I mean, what we're teaching now is, of course, in the context of any crisis, but also is relevant anytime in life when something VUCA shows up, something volatile, uncertain, complex, or ambiguous, right? So something happens and our minds immediately go to, oh shit. And so the emotion that might come up is fear, really one of the most common emotions, under which many other emotions fall if you unravel it. And so what actions or behaviors do we exhibit in response to the oh shit fear? Well, maybe we snap at someone, or worse, okay? In contrast, we can change either our thoughts or our emotions and generate different behaviors. So if our thought during a crisis is, you know what, not the best thing to have happened, but I'm gonna be okay, well, I'm calm. And from that place of calm and knowing that I'm gonna be okay, instead of snapping, I might be able to inspire someone instead. So just kind of triangulating these things, again, puts us in that place of either socialized or self-authored, creative or reactive.
Yeah, and oh, if you could go back for one moment on that beautiful slide. So as Shani mentioned, we can impact both the thoughts and the emotions. So you gave an example of changing your thought, and some of the tools we've taught you, such as the box breathing,
that's right,
or the any kind of meditation, you can consciously channel a different emotion, and then that also could lead to different thoughts or behaviors. So we're actually, sometimes we feel like we're powerless, and we actually do have power to at least try some of these things.
Yeah. So, and I have just like a silly little example about my bicycle. So when I decided to start riding now, just for exercise and getting outdoors, and I got my bicycle out of the garage, and initially I was here. Oh shit, the tires are flat, and this thing is dusty, and it hasn't been serviced in, oh, I don't know, 5 years. So I wasn't necessarily fearful, but I was disappointed because I was like, damn, I can't just ride the bike. And I immediately shifted that to, you know what? I can blow up the tires. I can have someone who knows something about bikes, make sure it's safe to ride, and I'm calm. And guess what? I've been riding the bike, right? So, I mean, big things, small things, the framework works. And just to take it to the collective space, right? Because those were sort of the individual triangles. When we take it to the organizational and leadership realm, we've got a problem or a threat, whether it's a pandemic or a competitor or supply chain interruption or whatever it is that puts us into fear, or we're already in fear, so we see everything as a problem or a threat rather than as an opportunity to solve, and so we get reactive. On the other hand, again, analogy holds true. If we face what's happening, because we can't change it, with a sense of purpose and vision grounded in our values, instead of being fearful, we're passionate, and we take action from that place, which is gonna be a much more productive, inspired set of actions. And for shortcut purposes, we're gonna refer in the rest of the webinar to these two patterns of thoughts, emotions, and behaviors as creative and reactive, okay? And part of this stems from a tool that Jennifer and I are both certified in and both love, called the Leadership Circle Profile. And we're not going to get into it. We do, however, want to share just a couple of pieces of their research. And this is for those of you left brain, quantitative, like numbers geeks. Well, you know, I say geek with love because this stuff really turns me on. They basically looked at all of their data, hundreds of thousands of leaders who have done the Leadership Circle Profile 360 assessment. And what they found was the leaders who have reactive and creative behaviors could put them on this axis and regress them. And you don't have to be a statistics genius to know that a perfect a perfect, oh my God, I just said the word.
Correlation.
Correlation is one, okay? And so we're gonna look at reactive first. So reactive leaders, 0.64% of the time. So 65% of the time, reactive leadership behaviors are gonna lead to leadership ineffectiveness. And this actually, the research extends to performance of the team and the organization being in the bottom 10% of performers. Okay, like that just blows me away. In contrast, creative leadership behaviors and mindsets, the correlation is almost perfect, greater than 0.9. Okay, so almost all the time, leaders who show up with creative mindsets and thus exhibit creative behaviors are gonna kick ass.
On my
chart tells me.
Here.
Hi, Traxel.
Sorry, I was on mute.
No, it's okay. No problem. All right.
I shared it to my mom-in-law. Sorry.
It's okay. No problem. All right. Thank you for that. We do both love the leadership circle profile, and those graphs are Shani's faves. So it's always good to see them. Here, we are going to step into some fun. And the message here that I think you probably got from us before, just given the music festival, is that play sets the stage for creative leadership. So anytime we can tap into our intuition or our sense of humor or games, that actually does release chemicals that helps rewire your neural pathways. It can help you get from a reactive to a creative place. So it's not always effective to say, you know, I wish I could handle this differently. Okay, I'm gonna think good thoughts. It's more, how can I inspire myself to change my behaviors and what are some tools? So we're gonna do a little exercise with you that can give you some ideas for how you can get from reactive to creative. All right, so my question for you is there any drama on your team? I can see some of you. So raise your hand if you've ever had drama in your life, either at home or at work. No judgment, we all have it. Okay, so I do see some hands up. So in any respectable drama triangle, there are typically three characters. You might only have two of the three. There is the hero or the fixer. And a lot of times this is the boss who will just swoop in and I'll change it for you. I'll get things done. And then there's of course the victim, the one who's being persecuted or the one who's had it bad or the one who's poor me. And then there's the villain, the bad guy. And as we think about any Disney movie or superhero movie, there are typically these roles. And what happens is we oftentimes will embody one of these roles and or assign them to someone else. So again, we're gonna exaggerate a little bit here and recognize that if we are putting ourselves, for example, in the victim role, subconsciously, we actually might be thinking, poor me, everyone's against me, oh my gosh, this is so unfair, even if those aren't our conscious thoughts. Yep. All right. Yeah. Did you want to add something to that?
I was just thinking of The Devil Wears Prada for some reason and thinking of the victim and villain in The Devil Wears Prada with Meryl Streep playing the villain and what's her face, the brunette who I adore, even though I can't remember her name, playing the victim. And there were a couple of different heroes in that, including her boyfriend and her mentor and ultimately herself.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so when we have this reactive triangle, this is a very simple example, and it could look something like this. So again, I'm going to exaggerate, just bear with me to make a point. So the villain is the boss, and the villain saying, and I'm going to use my pretend mustache. It's a bow tie from a little skit we did as kids. So the villain is like, you must meet the deadline, do this work. And it's impossible work, but you need to do it. And then the victim, who's in the lower right corner, is like, but I can't meet the deadline. Poor me, I can't do it. It's so unfair. Why are you so mean? But you must meet the deadline. But I can meet the deadline. So imagine it's from a skit with a girl with a little bow in her hair. So there's the mustache, and then there's the poor victim. And then the hero, who is the bow tie up there, is like, don't worry, I will meet that deadline for you. So again, it's a situation where there's clearly a good guy, a bad guy, and someone to save them. And even though it seems very simplistic and silly, when I hear frustrations from clients, people who are annoyed that their bosses sent them a nasty email or a coworker didn't treat them well, they really do assign roles that fit into this pattern. Mm-hmm. And what we are going to share with you is a different way of thinking of that. So how can we be creative versus reactive? And you'll notice that we color coded it. So if you get confused, just know that red is reactive and green is creative. In the creative triangle model, you'll notice the villain is crossed out and instead we have the challenger. So again, if your boss is coming at you with an impossible deadline or even screaming at you or doing something unskillfully, or the villain could be COVID, right? This thing that's happening in the world. How can we change the viewpoint and instead of seeing them as a bad guy, think of them or the situation as the challenger? Like, wow, this is really challenging me to come up with either a way to do my work and not take things personally, or a way to develop some other skills I might need to have. So you, as the prior victim, the victim is crossed out, and now you become the creator. And what that means is here are the circumstances that are happening around me. What can I create from here? So it's the recognition that we can't always control all this. Like if you have a boss who has low emotional intelligence and is gonna yell at you and give you unrealistic deadlines, you can't necessarily control that. And you can be in a place where you're not, you know, poor me, oh my gosh, this is so unfair. You can say, okay, here's what's happening. How can I step up? And then on the top, instead of being the hero, we have the coach. And the coach could also be the mentor or the teacher or the trainer. And this is really challenging for people as they ascend in leadership. Oftentimes the temptation is just to fix it. Like, I want to protect my people. I want to come in and save them. And instead, we are proposing that you think back to all those great coaching qualities. How can I empower people? How can I champion this awesome nerdy creator down there to figure out how to handle the situation? Because we know that we're all more resilient if we learn to handle our own difficult situations. So that's the framework. And now we are going to take you through a way to test it out in your life. Oh, well, but first we do have the second scenario here. Okay, so you heard my last skit. So here's my next skit. The boss, even though he's yelling, he's like, I picked you, man, because I knew you could do it. And I know you can meet this deadline. And then the guy is saying, I can and I will meet that deadline. Even if he doesn't know how to do it, he's like, I will figure it out. And the coach is saying, what can you change to meet the deadline? How can I help you? She's not saying, here's a list of what you need to do. She's saying, look, I believe in you and I'm here to help. So that is a simple explanation of these new roles. And now we will take it into the exercise.
Yeah, exactly. So first we're gonna do the exercise with everyone in the bigger room. And you're gonna make some notes as we go along. And then ultimately after everyone kind of has their reactive and creative versions of the story, then we're gonna do some breakout rooms. So if you don't have a piece of paper, jump and get one very quickly and something to write with.
And are you going to do a demo first?
I was going to do the demo after the instructions so that
Okay.
Have their ideas. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay.
So think about a challenging relationship or situation. And it doesn't even have to exist right now. This could be something that happened years ago and you could just practice, you know, sort of rewriting it and work with that. And so if there's got to be something in everyone's life that like really sucked at one point or another, right? So a situation at work or at home or with a neighbor or back in school, whatever it is, okay? And so when you have that situation nailed, write down on your piece of paper, the words, villain, victim, and hero, and assign roles back from your story, okay? So who is the victim? You may not have been the victim in the story, by the way. You might have been the villain, or you might have been the hero, the person who came and fixed it, right? It doesn't matter. You can play any role.
And there's no judgment here, by the way, people. We are all in these roles at some point. And again, even if it's, well, I was maybe 10% of a victim, then just claim it. Just claim the role, right? Just for the purpose of learning.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay, so victim and villain tend to be very easy to identify in stories. Sometimes the hero isn't so clear cut. And if there really was no hero, who do you wish the hero would have been, right? Who in who do you wish could have swooped in on the white horse and rescued you in that situation? Okay. And or might it have been you ultimately? Okay. And so with those three characters in your story, you know, you've got a once upon a time story that is your drama, if you will, right? Okay. So I'll give you another couple seconds to do that. And when you have finished, I want you to literally scratch out the words villain, victim, and hero and write challenger, creator, and coach. Okay. And how could you reimagine the story as if the players were playing these parts instead? Okay. So the villain instead of being the bad guy. And by the way, it's you that changes the perception of demonizing the villain versus, oh, this person's challenging me, right? It's not like that person shows up and says, I'm no longer the villain. I am a challenger, right? This is all, these are our thoughts, okay? And same thing, you're like, I don't, if I were to press the reset button on this and I decided not to be a victim, but to be a creator, and then hero is the coach. And so who might the coach have been? Or who was the coach actually? The person who mentored you or asked you powerful questions. And you might have been your own coach, right? If your inner leader came out, your best self voice, you were your own coach potentially. Okay, so that's a different version of your once upon a time story. Okay, so now that everyone has hopefully had a chance to think through the two versions of the story, I would now like to ask for a volunteer to do a demo. Who would like to come off of mute and share their story? Let's go from drama to fairy tale.
I see some movement in Deborah's corner. Deborah, yeah. Is that... It's like when you're at an auction and you move a little and they're like, you.
I'll do it.
Yay, thank you. I did see you move. I wasn't making that up.
Okay, so Deborah?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us what the situation, what the challenge or the problem was.
The challenge was there was a person with lots of authority who didn't like to do her job. So she would victimize another person to do the job for her. And then that victim would get paralyzed and the hero or the fixer would come in and fix the whole thing.
Okay. And do you mind saying which role you played in that drama?
Oh, the fixer.
Okay. I can almost tell with the energy you're like,
I know.
Right? Yeah. Okay. And how did that make you feel at the time?
Well, I have to confess. Now I'm starting to get warm so I can take my scarf off. I have to confess, my first reaction was I really felt a lot of feelings about the villain and the victim. They weren't good. They weren't good feelings. But, you know, when I get into this hero mode, I feel pretty good about that. You know, there's some ego there and, you know, I can fix this. I know I can. You know, it'll be okay. Don't worry.
Yeah. But ultimately, the circumstances that led you to have to fix didn't bring you good feelings, sounds like.
No, it really doesn't. And what I know is that it keeps repeating because it doesn't change. So
that's
this
right.
Might be good for this month, but next month it's like over yep. and over
yep.
and over.
Again. Yep. Okay. So in that case, the fixer is also the enabler.
Yes.
Because it keeps happening. Okay. So oops. let's change the roles.
Yes.
And envision, so what's the, tell once upon a time, so instead of, you know, there was this challenger, this victim, and you as the hero, tell the story with challenger, creator, and coach energy.
Okay, so once upon a time, there was, I'm just going to say, the director of children's services a person that had a big job with lots of responsibilities, and decided that as part of her superb supervision and professional development, wanted to give a task to someone she supervises. And that person said, oh, okay, I appreciate the honor of having this task. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do it. So the coach says, okay, so what do you need to get this job done? What are the obstacles that are facing you in getting this done? So it really gets to be kind of a neutral feeling, even though the creative person might be a little anxious. It isn't this, you know, kind of locked down feeling like I, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. And how do you feel as the coach in this situation? Because you just described how the creator might still feel a little anxious. How are you feeling as the coach versus the fixer?
I can't wait to tell you, because actually how I feel is, you know, I have some detachment from it, you know, and I have a lot of trust that this can get done, that this isn't as monumental as the creator is, that she really is competent and she can do this, you know, and I don't have all these mixed feelings of, you know, I don't get all this stuff inside of me. So it feels really good.
Oh, God. Well, thank you so much. That was the perfect demo, and swear to everyone that was not a plant. I had no idea what was coming.
No.
Genius pivot from the reactive to the creative storytelling mode. So thank you for modeling what that can look like, Deborah.
Yep, you got it.
Now, we're going to put you into paired discussion rooms, and we're not going to make you tell the entire reactive story and the entire creative story. What we want you to discuss is, what's the part of your story that you want to rewrite to get it from reactive to creative? And which piece of that, you know, was kind of the linchpin to it? Was it conceiving, you know, someone as a coach instead of a fixer? Was it instead of demonizing the villain, seeing them as a child, whatever it was, just kind of have that discussion with your partner. And it's 7 minutes plus the time to re-enter the room. We will give you a halfway reminder. And of course, we will debrief when everybody comes back. So hold on just one sec while I put everybody into rooms. All right, we'll see you soon. All right, I think everyone is back. Fantastic. Well, let's do a little debrief here. Again, would love someone to either unmute or type in some thoughts to the chat box about what that was like. What you learned, what you shared.
Was someone else going to talk? Because I was going to say something, but I would love to hear from someone else. It was a secret person. What I was going to say, because I was actually in a chat room, is that we talked about how sometimes it's even holding on to the victim energy or that mindset that can really make a difference. So I was recalling an incident that happened decades ago in my career where something unfortunate happened over which I had no control. And I was just so mad about it and so upset about it. And I still showed up kind of as the creator, did my best, turn the situation around. And another situation happened just recently where I was really able to just let go of that angst and that, oh my gosh, this is so unfair. And so it's not even that the motions or the behaviors were changed, but my personal happiness and peacefulness was so much different. So I think a lot of this can be, how can we not hold on to feeling like the victim, and what is the impact going to be on our life?
Absolutely, I love that. Yeah, it just changing the label from victim to creator, or just being like, I'm not a victim, can be enough to change the tone of the story. I love that. Thanks, Jen.
Yeah, and even in my example, the villain was someone who had made a mistake and done something that was, it was pretty black and white, like this person did something that they later apologized for. And so instead of seeing this person as the challenger. The challenger for me is almost like I'm being challenged to deal with life when mistakes happen. You know, sometimes people make mistakes, sometimes it's going to negatively impact you. And how are you going to react to it? Are you going to feel like a victim for 6 months and be whining about it? Or are you just going to be like, oh, well, that happens.
Yep. Yep. The older I get, the less I like being in whiny mode. Ugh.
Exactly. Totally.
All right. Yeah. Anyone else have thoughts or experiences or observations? Either about what you discussed in the chat room or just in general with the use of the storytelling tool as a way to shift from reactive to creative.
Shani?
Yes. Melissa?
Well, you know what? I was just thinking, I mean, Jennifer and I were in a chat room together, but something that just came up was, you know, this whole COVID is the villain right now, right?
Yep.
And just like you said, you could be in that, we could be the victims or we can be a hero or whatever, but looking at it differently is a challenge, but it's necessary if we want to maintain, I don't know, some positivity. So just sharing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think there's a lot of that out there and people kind of go back and forth between seeing COVID as a victim, or sorry, as a villain, or seeing it as sort of a blessing in disguise, challenging people to be more creative, to come up with new ways of working, to serve their clients differently, to connect to people in a new way, right? There's so much that is being created that will have lasting impact from COVID because of COVID's role as a challenger.
Yeah,
super cool. Okay, so homework. Recognize and practice all the ways you can be as a leader that we've been talking about this whole time. Use the storytelling tool when you're stuck as a way to shift from reactive to creative, or to help your people or your kids or your parents or anybody in your life. Like, use the tools not only on yourself, but share them. That's why we teach them, is to have a cascading impact and help other people who maybe haven't participated in these webinars for what reason. I could not imagine why the whole
world. Where are they? And I just want to mention too that Chica has put the worksheet for today in the chat, and you can access it there, and it has the drama triangle and the creative triangle role, so you can try it with your family, your kids. It can be a fun evening activity.
Yeah, exactly. After they tell you what animal they are.
Exactly.
And so we arrive sort of bittersweetly at the end of the Lead with Love Music Festival. Crazy little thing called love with our emotions, love on a two-way street, about how to new ways of interacting with employees that are virtual. Love will keep us together because we're living our values every day. And today, leading with openness, vision, and energy, that's what love's got to do with it.
That's right. You said it, girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as Jen showed at the beginning, if you missed any of these or failed to get the worksheet or whatever, all the recordings, all the handouts on the website leadershiftteam.com.
Yes. And also, if there are any questions or any more information that you want regarding any of the topics, obviously there's a lot more there. So we would love to hear from anyone if you would like to learn more about any things that we have talked about. So yeah, hit us up.
Yeah. Or if you want to bring these in-house to your teams, that's something we would love to do. And of course, we could customize it for your business, your industry, your people, your challenges, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So thank everyone who joined today and on the other 3 days for being on this journey with us. I had a hell of a lot of fun. Jen, did you?
Me too. It was so great. Thank you so much, everyone. It was a lot of fun, and keep in touch.